Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Now this morning, it is my absolute privilege to be preaching for the first time in what I'm calling 2020 Thrive. And I'm so privileged to be actually streaming to our Boksburg campus. So We are in our newly renovated, amazing Eden Vale Auditorium, and we're streaming live to Boksburg. I believe today that God has a word for us together as a community, and I'm super excited to share what God has laid on my heart. So it doesn't matter whether you're in the Eden Vale building or the Boksburg building or online, let's be in a posture to receive today, because I believe that God has a word. We are in a series entitled Listen. How it is that we can hear the voice of God. And Pastor Byron and Pastor Kulu both preached incredible messages into this series. And I want to invite you, if you missed either of these, to go onto our YouTube channel and to just have a watch them. Instead of watching Netflix and all these sorts of things, get the Word of God, get the power of the series into your heart and mind, and start and catch up and be with us on this journey. Today, friends, we are beginning our fasting and our praying together as a community. If you are here and you've heard that for the first time, it's okay. You can still join us. It's not too late. Sign up on our website or our app. I would encourage our app so you could win an air fryer. But also all of the contents of the journey that we're going on as a community will be on the app. We won't be getting WhatsApp, so make sure that you jump onto the app for how it is that we are fasting and praying together as a community. Friends, I believe that fasting is powerful because it's a way that we starve our flesh to hear the voice of God more clearly. And so if it is something you desire to do, we'd love to invite you. It's an incredible practice, and join us in that way. Could I ask both campuses that we stand to our feet as I pray for God to speak to us today? Would you stand in a posture to receive, pop your hand on your heart, or open your hands, whichever way you desire to do today? God, I'm so grateful for your presence that's in this place. God, you said, your word says that where two or three of us are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst of us. And we know that you are here. And so in this corporate gathering, we pray that you would give us a personal word for our lives, that you would speak and we would hear and obey, we pray. And everyone who is expectant for the Holy Spirit to speak said a resounding amen. Amen. You're welcome to take your seats. 2024 was probably the hardest year of my life. And towards the end of 2024, I started to wrestle with God. Started to say to him, hey, God, this isn't the life you promised me. You said in your word in John 10:10 that you have come to give me a life that is abundant, a life that is filled with blessings. And it feels like this year has been a year where the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And I felt like I looked a little bit like the chicken on the screen. Now, it's more funny because my surname is Chicken, if you knew. That I had some, like, you know, feathers missing. I looked in the mirror and I didn't even recognize myself. All I saw was some loss and some pain and some heartache. And I said to God, that is not what I desire for my life. And you promised an abundant life. And I started to wrestle with God. And I really felt like at the end of that, God was saying to me, Candace, you are going to need a word from me for your life. Because there was a fear that started to grip my heart about 2025. That it was going to just be more of the same. More of the same, you know, chunks taken out of you. More of the same heartache and disappointment. And so there was a little bit of a fear that was catching a hold of my heart. And so I decided, well, God, you said I need a word from you. And so I went to my knees and I wrestled with God for that word. And I believe that God gave me that word. And the word that he gave me, I wasn't expecting it to be one word, but it was one word. I was expecting, you know, a couple of sentences. But God gave me one word for 2025, and he gave me the word tov, which is a Hebrew word for good. Now, Hebrew is... it has way less words, so it means more than just good, because if it just meant good, I would have said, I'm not going into 2025. You know, good's not enough for me. But this is actually what tov means. It means all that is good, all that is true, all that is beautiful. It's equal parts, unadulterated pleasure, pure delight, overwhelming awe, unspeakable joy, and childlike wonder. And so when God gave me that word, it changed everything for me as I was entering into 2025. There was no longer going to be a fear, instead an expectation, a great joy of what God could do and was able to do in my life. And so I was so expectant. Friends, one word from God, one word from God can change your life. One word from God can change my life. And so perhaps you're here today and you deeply desire to hear the voice of God. Perhaps you need a word for your year. Perhaps you need direction for your future. Perhaps you need encouragement for your family situation. Perhaps you need breakthrough for a new job or faith for your finances or hope for your healing in your body. One word from God can turn that around so that you could also live. We together can live an abundant life. But it's vital that we hear the voice of God. And so today we're going to learn together from a young boy by the name of Samuel. And Samuel teaches us a couple of ways of how it is that you and I, that we can hear the voice of God more clearly in our lives. Because we all need to hear the voice of God more clearly so that we can have access to this life. What you need to know about Samuel, for those of you who haven't been introduced to Samuel, is Samuel's mother was a lady by the name of Hannah. Hannah was barren, and she would go before God at the Jewish feasts that came around once a year, and she would pray and petition and ask God, God, would you give me a baby? God, could I not be barren anymore? And the one year she prayed so earnestly that she said to God, if you give me a baby, I will dedicate him back to you. And God granted her request. And Samuel was born, and around the age of 3, she did exactly what she said she was going to do. And she took her son Samuel, and she gave Samuel to Eli the priest to raise in the house of God. She dedicated him back to him. And this story that we're going to read today is 9 years after this. So Samuel's been growing up in the house of the Lord with Eli the priest as his father. He's now around the age of 12, and we pick up this biblical account together. It's 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 to 10. We're going to read it together. And it says this, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. And so he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Friends, for the sake of time, I'm not going to tell you what God said. I'm just going to summarize it really briefly. He told about what was going to happen to Israel. He said what was going to happen to the priest Eli and to Eli's sons. But most importantly, what a powerful moment. The moment when Samuel heard the voice of God for the first time. Friends, I'm not sure if you can remember. When was the first time you heard the voice of God? Or perhaps you're sitting in this building today or in our Boxburg campus and you're saying, I've actually never heard the voice of God. And I so deeply desire to hear the voice of God. And so today we're going to learn together from Samuel how it is that we can hear the voice of God more clearly. The first thing we learn is in verse 1, literally the second word. It says this, the boy. Friends, Samuel was just a boy when he heard the voice of God. He was just a boy. He was 12. Just a young man. Friends, I believe that God speaks to children because of the fact that children are curious. Children love to learn. They have qualities about them that's different. Children trust easily, right? Children have courage. Man, they have way too much courage. They get into that pool, they can't swim. They're like, here I go, you know? And they're honest. Children are honest. Oh, they say things like, oh, you're fat. Don't say that. They're just too honest, right? But that's what makes them have something different about them that Christ wants to speak to them. They love quickly. They believe what they told and they have faith. That's what's beautiful about children. And so you're here and you're like, well, I'm an adult. That's past. No, friends, you and I, we are able to have a childlikeness about us. There is an ability within us to be childlike, and that means that we can be curious about God and His kingdom. We can love new things. We can choose to step out in courage when God speaks to us. We can engage honestly with God, as I did the other day. God, I had a terrible year. I do not want a year like that again. Engage honestly, honestly with our Father. We can allow ourselves to be adaptable like children, not so rigid and stuck in our ways. We can love God and others quickly, not be jaded by our hurts and our past. And we can also believe what God tells us. If God says it, it is yes and amen. There is a believing that needs to take place in us, and finally, we can have faith. Scripture actually tells us this, friends. Matthew 18, 3-4, it says this. And he said, this is Jesus, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like these children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Friends, if you and I want to hear the voice of God more clearly, we need to become like children, become childlike. The second thing we see is also still in the first verse. We don't even have to go past the first verse, and we're learning so much already. It says this, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Friends, Samuel made the house of God his home. Now, I realize that he didn't have a literal choice in that his mother dropped him off and said goodbye. Please do not drop your children off. Pick them up from kids' church. Do not leave them in the house of God, okay? But it's a spiritual home is what I'm talking about. He made it his home. And that means he did this. He worshiped God there. He ministered before God. It says he served God there. He submitted to Eli, his leader in the house of God. And he grew up in the house of the Lord. And it says that he was in close proximity to the presence of God. If you see where he lay just outside the room where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. He was in close proximity to the presence of God. Friends, the same can be true of us. When we make God's house our home, we are able to hear the voice of God more clearly. And that means, as Matt encouraged us so brilliantly in this auditorium today, to worship God first and foremost. Secondly, to come to this place and serve. Offer your gifts. Don't just be a pew warmer. Say, hey, where can I use my gifts for the glory of God? Secondly, submitting to our leadership, not because they are power-driven, egotistical leaders, but because God has placed them in authority and God has spoken to them. Fourthly, we need to grow in the house. People need to look at us and say, hey, you're different this year from last year. I've seen a growth in you in wisdom and stature and in favor with both God and man. And finally, when we are in close proximity to God, that means getting into the house of God every single week, not just when you're serving, not I want to take this week off and come next week. No, getting into the house of God whenever the opportunity presents itself. Getting into life groups, getting into encounter night next week at our Boxburg campus for the evening service. Getting into the presence of God, because it's when we're in the proximity to the presence of God that we're able to hear the voice of God more clearly. So the second thing we do together, friends, is we need to make God's house our home. And then the third thing is found in verse 3, where it says this: the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Friends, what's powerful about this verse is it's telling us that Samuel had finished his work for the day. He had finished his work for the day. He had stopped his doing, and he was just being in the presence of God. He had stopped all of his activity, stopped the serving, stopped the work, stopped the distraction, and he found a place of stillness in his life. He found a place where he could just be with the presence of God. And when he found that place, God spoke. Friends, the same is true of us. You and I, we need to practice stillness in our lives. And it's worse for us than it was for Samuel, in that at night we can have Netflix to distract us. We can have social media to distract us. We have emails on our phones. Like, have you ever opened an email when you should be going to sleep and then that's that? It just upsets you for the rest of the night. Friends, we have so many more distractions. It's even more vital that we stop the busyness, we stop the distraction, we stop and we find a moment of stillness so that we can position ourselves to hear the voice of God. Corrie ten Boom says this: if the devil can't make us bad, he will make us busy. He'll make us so busy that we can't hear the voice of God. And a Christian who cannot hear the voice of God has no power, has no authority. A Christian who cannot hear the voice of God has no abundance to their life. Which is why Scripture tells us in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. It's only through stillness that there is a knowledge of God. If you and I want to know God, if we want to know His voice, there needs to be the practice of stillness developed in our lives. You know, friends, our God doesn't scream above the noise of our lives. He waits for us to be still to hear Him. Elijah the prophet, this was exactly what happened with him. He went up onto the mountain and there was a fire and God wasn't in the fire, and there was a windstorm and God wasn't in the wind, and there was an earthquake and God wasn't in the earthquake. But God was in the still, small whisper. which will require us to practice stillness in order to hear the voice of God. A tool that's helped me to do this, because life's busy, it's crazy, and my mind wanders the moment. I'm like, okay, be still before God, and then you're like, oh, you need to cook, and then I'll put that on a list, you know? Oh, you need to buy this. An app that's helped me is called the Pause app. It's going to be up on the screen. This has helped me. It just helps me to center my mind around Christ and His Word so that my mind stills to hear the voice of God. So I want to encourage you to download that and use it. It builds up in increments. It starts with 1 minute, and then it moves to 3, and then 5, and then 10, just so that we can start to practice stillness in our lives. So these three practical things that we learn from Samuel is that we can become more childlike. This is a position of humility in our lives. When we become childlike, it's a position of humility. The second thing was when we make God's house our home, this is a position of proximity. We are placing ourselves in the proximity of God so that we can hear His voice. And then thirdly, when we practice stillness, this is us saying, hey, I'm available. There's a posture of availability. I'm quiet, God. I am listening for you. So these are all about how it is that we can position ourselves to listen and to hear the voice of God. But friends, there are two things that I believe, and there are many more, but the main two things that distract us or pull us away or move us out of position from hearing the voice of God. And the first one is one we don't like to talk about a lot. But the first one is our sin. Friends, our sin can block us from hearing the voice of God. It separates us from our God so that we can no longer hear His voice. God doesn't stop speaking. It's just that there's a barricade that comes up and all of a sudden we can't hear Him because our sin separates us from God. And so perhaps that's you or me in this room today, and you know there's a habitual sin in your life that's blocking you from hearing the voice of God. Can I invite you and encourage you to repent? That means to say, God, I'm so sorry, and then to turn from that sin and move into a position where you're able to hear the voice of God more clearly again. The second reason that we often don't hear the voice of God in our lives and we position ourselves away from the voice of God in our lives is when we're disobedient. Friends, I know that there's times that God has spoken to me so clearly and I just don't want to do it. I do a bit of a Jonah. You know Jonah? God said, go to Nineveh, and he went as far away from Nineveh as possible. Well, I have done that. And then I'm just moving further and further away from God, and he literally doesn't want to speak until I've obeyed what he's asked me to do in the first place. And so these two things pull us away from God and a position of hearing God's voice, our sin and often our disobedience. And so if that is you, if you've been disobedient to God, if He's asked you to do something, can I encourage you to repent and do the thing that He's asked you to do? Because then your life will move forward again. You know, each of us have a tone to our voices. Am I right? When someone speaks, there's a tone that you're able to recognize, hear, and it gets easier to recognize that tone the more we're in relationship with that person. So years ago when Pastor Byron and I were dating, we used to phone the landline because there's no such thing as cell phone. So I'd phone his landline to speak to him, but he was in a house of three brothers. And the tone of their voices is very similar if you've heard his brothers' voices. And Justin, his youngest brother, would often answer the phone and he would mess with me horribly. I would be telling him how much I love him. You know, when are we going to see each other? And he would play along, play along, play along. And then eventually he would go, it's Justin, Candace, I'll get Byron. Like literally the tone of their voices was so similar. Only after years of knowing Byron could I tell the tone of his voice relative to his two brothers. It was over time and relationship that I could recognize his voice. And so today, friends, where I would like the focus of my sermon to land is on how it is that we can listen to the tone of God and identify when God is speaking. Because what's vital for us to know is that Samuel positioned himself correctly. He was, you know, in the house of the Lord. He was still, he was a child. He did all of those things, but he still could not recognize the voice of God. And so today I just want to help us how it is that we can recognize the voice of God and that God is actually speaking. Especially, friends, if you haven't heard the voice of God before. The first thing I want to mention for us today is that we often say hearing the voice of God. And you might be here going, well, is it audible? Is it boomy? Is it loud? Is it gruff? Like, what does it sound like? Friends, 99.9% of the time, the voice of God is not audible. There have been accounts where people have heard the audible voice of God. I have not. But it is an impression in your heart, in your soul, that comes into your spirit from God. It's a knowing in your spirit. So the voice of God, if you've never heard it, it's not booming and loud and like aggressive. It's an impression in your spirit. The second thing we need to know about the voice of God, and I've touched on this really briefly, is it is still and it is small. It is almost a whisper. And friends, the reason for the whisper is so that we can get close to him. You know, when I used to whisper to my kids, it was so that they could come closer. And then when they came closer, I would grab them and hug them and, you know, do horrible mom things. But we whisper so that a person will come closer to us in proximity. And God will speak, friends. He will. But we need to be close to his presence in order to hear his voice. The third thing we need to know about God's voice is it is weighty, friends. It has an authority. It has like a power to it that when it comes in, you're like, I could not have thought of that. I am too much of a moron, right, to have thought of that myself. But the Holy Spirit comes with this weight and with this authority that just cuts through your thoughts and gives you like what I would say a God idea or a God impression. That's like, wow, where did that come from? It came out of nowhere. And so there's a weightiness to the voice of God, an authority to the voice of God that supersedes your man-made thoughts and my man-made thoughts. The fourth thing is that the voice of God is congruent with the nature and character of God. And the character of God embodies the fruit of the Spirit. So when the voice of God speaks, it's going to be a voice of love. It's going to be a voice of joy and peace and patience and kindness, friends. Kindness. Our God is kind and loving. It's going to be a voice of faithfulness. That's the voice that we're listening for. And so I want to say to you, if you're in the building or in our Boxburg campus today, want to say to us that if the voice is one that's telling you you're not good enough, you will never amount to anything. You don't measure up. That's not the voice of our God. The voice of our God is loving. The voice of our God is encouraging. The voice of our God is inviting. He's not condemning. Not condemning. He doesn't condemn and make you feel less. He encourages and builds you up. And then the last point about listening for the voice of God, friends, is that it aligns with God's word. God will never say anything that contradicts his word. So if he says to you, lie to your boss, that is not God. He did not say that. Because scripture tells us we must not lie. If it says this affair is okay, like this is the voice in your head, this affair is okay because your wife hasn't blah, 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 that is not the voice of God. The voice of God aligns with the word of God, and they're congruent and they're aligned. If it's any other, it can be any other voice. It can be your own voice. It can be the voice of the enemy if it's taking you away from the word of God, which is why it is vital. And Pastor Byron spoke about this, that we read the word of God so that we know what the word of God says, so that we know of the character of our God and what it is that we are aligning to in the kingdom of God. And so, friends, hearing the voice of God takes time. It takes practice. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. But what I love about Samuel is that Eli gave him some direction. And I want to encourage you, if you've never heard the voice of God, if you're not sure if God is speaking, go to one of your leaders and say to your life group leader whichever leader, your team leader or one of the pastors or the elders, and say, this is what I am hearing. Is it the voice of God? I'm unsure. It's okay. It's wonderful that you're going on the journey to hearing the voice of God. And then your leader will probably take it through this sort of filter. Is it in line with the word of God? Is it a strong impression that's not leaving you? Does it have a weight and an authority to it? And they will help you to discern the voice of God. So hearing the voice of God, friends, it takes time, takes practice. I want to show you this beautiful clip of a teacher by the name of Miss K and how it is that she identifies her students by the tone of their voices. Thanks, team. Take it away.
It's that.
Hello, teacher. What is my name?
Liaho.
Hello, teacher. What's my name?
Otehile.
Hello, teacher. What is my name?
Nkaiso.
Hello, teacher. What's my name?
Oshrokwa.
Hello, teacher. What is my name?
Sayakin.
Hello, teacher. What is my name?
Langalihle.
Hello, teacher. What's my name?
Retemitse Makena.
Hello, teacher, what is my name?
Oratile.
Hello, teacher, what is my name?
Matanga.
Hello, teacher, what is my name?
Gabriel.
Hello, teacher, what is my name?
Say again.
Hello, teacher, what is my name?
Guys, oh.
I just love that clip, that she was able to identify the voices of the pupils in her class by the tone of their voice, but because she practiced them, she was in relationship with them, she was with them, she knew them, she'd heard them speak, and so over time she was able to identify them just by their voices. Friends, the same is true for us. We are able to hear the voice of God through practice, through time, through relationship, through spending moments in God's presence, through just intimacy with Him. You and I are able to hear the voice of God. And so I hope today that some of these tools have been helpful for you in identifying the voice of God, because when God speaks, friends, everything changes. Everything changes. And we can be in this year in relationship with Him, and it will be the best year of our lives if we just keep close to the voice of God and to His leading and guiding. Can I ask for every head to be bowed and eye closed as we take a moment to respond to what we've heard today? Friends, the starting point of us recognizing the voice of God is by beginning a friendship with God. We can't hear the voice of God if we don't even want to enter into a friendship with Him. And so today, it would be my privilege and honor to invite you into a place of friendship, relationship with God. All along, friends, what we need to know is that God wanted a friendship with us. In the Garden of Eden, He used to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve, walking and talking together. That was His desire. And then Adam and Eve, they sinned and they ate of the tree which they were commanded not to. And that sin, it did exactly what we spoke about earlier. It separated them from God. And so God's desire was still for friendship. But now He had to make a plan for that reconciliation to take place. And so what He did is He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sin and for our shame, and to take our place so that we could be reconciled back to God, so that that friendship could take place again. And so today we have an opportunity to take a hold of that friendship. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you if you would like to invite Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, but also your friend. Then I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand, and I would love to include you in this life-changing prayer. Nothing weird's going to take place. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to single you out. It's just a way of me knowing that I'd love to include you in this prayer, and I'd love to do that. So if that is you, on the count of three, if you would raise your hand, and it would be my privilege to include you in this prayer. One, two, three. Hands up all over this building today. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. At Boxburg, keep raising your hands. Thank you, I see that hand. Right where you are, if you'd raise the hand and respond, I want a friendship with Jesus, would you pop up your hand? It would be my great privilege and honor to pray with and for you. I believe there's a couple more people in the building today. If you're feeling butterflies in your stomach, if you're wondering, should I, shouldn't I, do it. Respond today. It will be the best and most life-changing decision. Thank you. I see your hand. I was waiting for you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pray this prayer, and as I do so, friends, would you repeat it after me in your hearts right where you are? Dear Father God, I come before you today with a humble heart, and I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus Christ was born sin-free. He died on the cross as a payment for my own sin, and then He rose 3 days later. Please, would you forgive my sins? Would you make me new as I enter into this friendship with you? In Jesus' name, and everybody in the room said, Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.